Okay, take your Bibles, please, and go to Romans chapter 13, if you will, please. Romans 13. Thank you for the wonderful musical program this evening. I thoroughly enjoy the enthusiasm of the pianist. I like someone to beat the keys, and so thank you for doing that. I like that. And I love good music, and I thank God for the standards you all have here at your school. I want to keep that strong, and I thank God you are. I taught you all the theme verse of John 3 and verse 30. And so before I do preach, we do want to quote this again. And so let's say the reference and verse good and loud. Okay, here we go. John 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist uttered those words. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to unlatch the Lord's shoes. Jesus said, among women there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. You know, John had the right view of his life. He was not a showman. And we don't need showmanship. Proverbs 22:4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And when we keep self in the background and we put Christ in the forefront, we'll be honoring our Lord like John the Baptist did. At the close of the servant students, there's a table back there set up. I developed a memorization program many years ago to help people memorize the Bible. And with the program, we encourage people to memorize 26 weeks of the year and review 26 weeks of the year. You know why? Because I developed the program and I said so. Now, you see, when you author something, you can tell people what to do. But really, repetition is the best way of knowing the Bible. And so often people say to me, well, Jerry, how can you quote all these Bible verses? Like I'm smart or something. When I went to high school in West Virginia, I made straight D's. And proud of it. I didn't go to school to study. I went to school to play sports. Now, I do not have a great mind. I do have a photo working mind, and I work at it. And if you can work at it, you can also know the Bible. You can know the Word of God. And I hope you want to get the program. See Brother Troutman, Joel, at the close of our service. They'll be there for the rest of the week, okay? Tonight, the message that I'm preaching is heavy on my heart. And I want to be very, very careful how I preach. I realize this evening that sometimes we get the flesh in the way, and I do not want that, and God's my witness. I want to preach the Word. I hope that you will have my attention, and most of all, your heart to the Lord. The need of a spiritual awakening really is the cry of the hour. And I trust God will indeed use the message to do something deeply in your hearts. Let's all stand, please. Romans 13. And would you all look at verse 11 and verse 12? And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, I pray this evening that I'll have your direction. I'll have your wisdom. I may, Father, honor your name. May the Spirit of God take the message and do something unusual in our lives, in our midst tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you seated, please. I travel nationwide. I'm on the road over 10 months of the year. As I travel, I don't know it all. I don't act like I know it all. But I do want to make an observation. I find as I travel across America, wherever I go, there's a spiritual apathy. There's a spiritual indifference on the part of so many of God's people. 2 Timothy 4:10 says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. It seems like so many of God's people have gone after the world, and many are filled with their own ways. And since that's so, there is a need of a genuine awakening. Nothing put on. Not mere froth. I'm talking a deep work in the heart of the life of the child of God. And that knowing the time, that now is our time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So God needs to awaken His people. But what does He need to awaken us to? Well, first of all, young people, He needs to awaken us to the indifference of our praying. In Mark 1:35, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out into a solitary place and there prayed. Would you observe, the Bible declares Christ got alone and He prayed. In like fashion, the Bible admonishes us in Matthew 6 and verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray for thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He wants us to get alone and then call upon His name. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shall be great and mighty things which thou knowest not. 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Psalm 81:10, the Bible says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Here the Lord encourages you to bring your need, your petition before Him. But my observation, it seems like we put the handcuff of doubts and the handcuff of unbelief on the omnipotent hands of our Heavenly Father. And we have no idea of how God stands ready to meet our need. Several years ago, I read a book entitled Communion with God. And the author made this statement. What a shame it is that God is more willing to hear prayer and to answer prayer than we are to pray. And listen how the Bible tries to encourage you in this area. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Mark 11:24, therefore, I say to you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. John 14:14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 16:24, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Proverbs 15:8, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, as I look out across this room, There, no doubt, are many needs that no one knows except God. And you could never exhaust the resources of God anymore, but I could drain the oceans of the world to a straw. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And this evening, I would that somehow God would stir your life in the area of how you pray, the intensity of your prayer life. There has to be an awakening. America is in such a dire need. What's the answer for America? I believe the people of God have to set their lives in the area of prayer. But second of all, God must awaken us to the inconsistency of our living. Look at verse 12, please. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Look at me. There has to be this area, casting off the works of darkness. Now, young people, we are in a spiritual battle. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There is a constant battle within our lives. The flesh and the spirits. We battle this all the time. And many of us, we are taking shortcuts on God Almighty. When I was a teenager, I had the most embarrassing moment of my entire teen years when I played football. I went to a large high school in West Virginia, and I played football for 3 years, and I played baseball as well, and track and all that stuff. But I loved to run, and I used to put boots on up to my knees, and I'd run in the gravel along the railroad track to build my legs up. I'd put my cousin on the bicycle, and I would pedal mile after mile. I'd run the hills of West Virginia with two sacks of coal on my back for one reason, to build up my legs. And I was consumed in the area of running. And so we were scrimmaging one day, and the coach said to us, men, after a hard scrimmage, and it was red hot, he said, men, see the building out there? And there was a building around 200 yards away. He said, men, I want you to run to the building, and you must touch. Is that clear? I said, you must touch the building. When you touch the building, run back to me. You can then go down, take a shower, and go home. And so, there were 133 of us out for football. I took out running. I was 20 yards in front of the entire football team. And when I got around 10 or 15 feet from the building, in my mind, with all these guys behind me, I said to myself, there's no way that coach will ever know if I touch the building, and I'm not going to touch it. And so when I got around 5 feet from the building, I made a big circle, I turned around, and I ran back to the coach. And when I did, he said, come over here, Jerry. And I said, what is it, coach? He said, just come here. He started patting me on my shoulder pads. My head got this big. I had to take my helmet off. And so I thought he was going to praise me because I put on, you know, ran so fast. And when the team ran back, he said, men, gather around Savinsky and me. And here we are in the middle of this big circle, the entire football team all around us. And then Coach Priester did this. He took his finger, pointed his finger in my face and said, men, I want to tell you what Savinsky just did. He said, he didn't touch the building. And then he looked at me and said, did you, Jerry? And I was in shock. You know what happened? He had a spy hid in the woods with a walkie-talkie. And when
I didn't touch the building. He relayed the message to another coach. Stavinsky did not touch the building. And they relayed it to another coach. Jerry Stavinsky did not touch the building. And they gave the message to the head coach. I was stunned. I was in absolute shock. He said a second time, I asked you, Jerry, you didn't touch the building, did you? And I said, no, sir, I didn't. And he said these exact words. Men, because of Jerry Stavinsky not touching the building, the entire team has to run back and touch that building. And brother, I guarantee you, I outran them that time. They would have killed me for sure. When I got to the building, I literally fell on the building. I'm going to tell you something. The most embarrassing moment in my life is when that coach pointed his finger in my face and said, you didn't touch the building, did you? I don't know you. But perhaps you are taking a shortcut on God Almighty. The most embarrassing moment in your life is when God's going to point you out. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And look, you have to deal with sin in your life, or else that sin will come back and deal with you. And he's trying to awaken you to this inconsistency of your living. But third of all, he's trying to awaken us to the ineffectiveness of our witnessing. Look back at verse 12, please. The Bible says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of lights. Notice it says, put on the armor of lights. Look this way, please. God wants you to realize you are the one to be the light to individuals. You are the one who has to put on the armor and go up and tell others about the Savior. We are living in a darkened world, and we are to be the light for Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men. So we are to let our lights shine before men. Now, when I first got saved, I had no intention of going to college, as I told you. And therefore, I worked for the Fairmont Times newspaper. I was a typist. And so, I enjoyed my work. But I start going soul winning as soon as I graduated. I was 17 years of age. And a coal miner took me soul winning. And I only went for one reason. I said, as long as I don't have to say one word, I will go. Because I never would speak publicly because of my speech problems. And so he said, Jerry, you don't have to say one word. And I would watch this man of God. And I saw him deal with hardened men. He took the Bible. He led men to Christ. And somehow, as a young man, that stirred me when I saw people coming to Christ. And so I began to witness. And I got so burdened that one day I said, Brother Summers, I would like to go soul winning every day for 2 weeks. Would you go every day with me for 2 weeks in a row? And this man, 15 years my senior, he said, yes, Jerry, if you want to go, I'll go with you. And so I went soul winning every day for 2 weeks in a row. During the second week, we're going down the road in Fairmont, West Virginia, when all of a sudden, I felt burdened to stop and witness to a house, people in the house. And so I said, stop the car right here. And he did. We jumped out. I ran to the door. I knocked real hard on the door. A lady answered. I said, ma'am, my name is Jerry Stavinsky, and this is Dot. We are from the Fellowship Baptist Church. And when I said that, the lady just burst out weeping in convulsion. I never in my life saw anyone weep like this. I said to her, ma'am, I do not know your problem, could have come in your home and take the Bible and show you how Jesus could save you. And Mrs. Mildred Clausen said yes. We went in her home. I took the Bible. I sat down beside her with Brother Summers by my side. I began to show her the way of salvation. And I said, Mrs. Clausen, would you like to invite the Lord within your life? She said, yes, I would. And she fell to her knees. She began to weep. And she prayed and invited Christ within the hearts. And then we stood up. And these are the exact words she said to me. She said, as you were knocking on my door, I was walking downstairs to my basement, ready to commit suicide. By the way, she had the suicide note written to her husband, Tom. The glass of poison was already poured. And she said, when you knocked on the door, you startled me. And when you said you were from a Baptist church, I knew God sent you. I looked at that lady. Did not say one word out loud. But in my heart, here's what I said. I said, dear Lord, if that lady right there was ready to commit suicide, and you used us to win her to Christ, I said, dear Father, there must be people all around America waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus Christ. And then I thought my heart was going to burst, because in my heart I screamed and said, Lord, I'm willing to be that man. And I'm in your pulpit tonight because I led a lady to Christ. Her husband Tom got saved. A great host of others came to Christ. You know what, young people? You've got to realize the significance, the cost, being used of God, preaching and telling others about Christ. Last night, my heart was deeply touched. Before I preached a message last night, back in this auditorium out here, a young lady walked up to me and said to me, Brother Zivinsky, may I speak with you? And I said, yes. She said, you're my favorite evangelist. Would you like to know why? I said, yes, why? She said, you came to Kansas and you preached, and my dad got saved under your preaching. And then, after that, my father was in a car accident, and my father was killed. You know what? I thank God. I paid a small cost in West Virginia, and now I've gone around the world telling others about Christ. Now, I want to tell you young people something. It's worth the effort of a lifetime if you just see one individual come to Jesus Christ. We are to be the light. We are to point the unsaved to Christ. We've got to preach Christ and Him crucified and risen that they can turn to Him and be saved. However, the greatest awakening any person ever has is when they're awakened of their need of Jesus Christ. You know, I had a step-grandfather in West Virginia. He was a wicked, ungodly man. He was a man who drank all the time. I saw him one day go outside, and he did this. He shook his fist in God's face. He cursed God in Russian. He defied God to come down and fight him. I saw that. However, when he was dying, my mother and dad were by his bedside, and my mother said he was screaming and shaking all over as he took his last breath as a drunkard. You may be bold. You may be brave. However, when death faces you, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you will struggle like an insect caught in the spider's web. Hebrews 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the awakening is your awakening of coming to Christ. My wife Sharon, down in the front row, when she got saved, she was 9 years of age in Endicott, New York. They had a revival with two black brothers known as the Wigan brothers. And Sharon's father worked for IBM up in Endicott, New York, and that's the home of IBM. And they brought these two black brothers in. And they preached the Word of God. And as Sharon heard the Word of God preached, she was awakened of her need of Christ. And so the night she went home, and she said, tomorrow night, I'm going to go and sit on the end of the pew. And when he preaches, I'm going to walk down the aisle and let Jesus save me. Well, that night, Sharon's father came home from work. Sharon's mother said, are we going to the revival tonight? And Sharon's dad said, no, I've got so much work to do, I think we will not go tonight. She heard that, and her heart was crushed. And yet, her mother spoke up and said, why don't we go? The work can always wait. And Sharon's dad said, that's right, the work can always wait. So they went that night. And that night, my wife walked down the aisle at the age of 9, was awakened of her need of Christ, and she was saved. You know what? I thank God. I thank God this evening. Regardless of who a person is and how deep they've gone in sin, when they're awakened of the need of Christ, Jesus will indeed save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray tonight, with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to have them play a song of softly and tenderly, and while they're getting ready for that song, I want to speak tonight to those of us who are saved. You see, Brother Jerry, I need to be awakened in this area of the indifference of praying. Now, this is not a generic invitation, by the way. Don't raise your hand just saying, I want to pray more. No. I'm saying, will you say, Lord, I want to develop this communion with you. I, Father, want a prayer life where I see you answer the needs of my life. If that's so, with our heads bound and our eyes closed, would you voice above the raised hand across the congregation? And you'll say, yes, that's what I crave. That's what I long for. Good God bless you. As I go on, maybe he must awaken you to the inconsistency of your living. Is your Brother Jerry? I am taking shortcuts on God. No one knows except the Lord. And I needed this preaching. I need to deal with something that I've let go too long in my life. And I can't do it on my own. I'm going to need God's help. But include me in that prayer. Would you raise your hands then in the air? God bless you. God bless you. As you raise your hands, God bless you. In every section, you may put them down. This matter of being a witness for Christ is absolutely, I think, one of the greatest cries today among God's people. The world's dying and going to hell because we put our life under a bushel. We're not reaching the unsaved. You say, Brother Jerry, I want the Lord to help me to be willing to pay the cost, whatever that may involve, of being used to win the lost to Christ. That is my desire, that you can voice that by the raised hand at this time to your Lord. And you're voicing it to him. Okay, God bless you. If you are here tonight without Christ as your Savior, no one's ever taken the Bible. No one's ever shown you how Christ could save you.
Would you voice your need of salvation right now by the raised hand before I close in prayer and say, yes, would you include me? Then would you raise your hand in the air? Our dear Father, we ask again tonight for the blessed Holy Spirit to take the truth of thy word. And Father, be honored as we give this invitation. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.